Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, a place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, Haggai and Zechariah, Who in the World Are These? Two Messengers, One Message.
Correlating scripture, I want to go to, amen, Isaiah 62, verse 1, 2, and 3. Amen. For a correlating scripture, I want to go to Isaiah 62, verse 1, 2, and 3. Amen. We know, amen, from our study already that these are two minor prophets. Amen. They're not called minor prophets because of the significance of their writing, but they're called minor prophets because of the size of the material that they wrote in comparison of to an Isaiah or to a Daniel or to a Ezekiel. Ezekiel and them wrote long passages. So when we came to the ones like Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi, they are called minor prophets or minor books because of the size of their book. Amen. So Zechariah, we know that they're talking to the children of Israel. Trying to get my introduction out so I can go right to my points, all right? Amen. We know that when we come now to Haggai and Zechariah, they're talking to the remnant of Israel that have returned from captivity, all right? God gave them a decree, and God allowed them to come out of captivity. And now they are out of captivity, and they're back in Jerusalem. Somebody say, back in Jerusalem. Amen. They're now back in Jerusalem. They're back in Jerusalem. And now, this is what is amazing to me. They were freed from their captive, but the majority of the ones that in captivity did not leave. And you know, for me, revelation becomes information that has to be application. All right. Why didn't they leave? And you got to go back and study why. Their jobs were so good, and now they had good offices, and their Babylonian captors was treating them, pretty good. But for me, if I'm in captivity, the best thing you can do for me is free me. Thank you for two strong witnesses over there. But because their captors was treating them so well, many of the Jews did not return. And when we get to Haggai, when we get to Zechariah, he is now trying to encourage the remnant that although the masses have not returned, the Lord is in the midst of you. God. The Lord is in the midst of you, and he's going to be mighty to save and mighty to heal and mighty to deliver. And here is the thing that he's trying to encourage them, that the sure thing that the Lord said of all of you is not predicated by some of you. I'm going to do what I said because I'm not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man that I should repent. If I said it, I'm going to make it good. He's trying to teach, amen, Israel, that I can save by many or I can save by few. You missed it. That was a good place to say amen. Amen. Sometimes we look at the size of our bank account and we are determining whether God can save us or not. Sometimes we're looking at the number of our friends and the ones that have walked out, and we're wondering, now are we going to make it? And God has to every now and then show us, you ain't survived because of them. Oh, God. He's trying to teach them when we get to Haggai and we get to Zechariah that I'm a mighty God and I can save by many or I can save by few. But what he's trying to really convince them that the word is still good. Do me a favor, talk to your neighbor, amen. Tell him, say, God's word is still good. Come on, tell your neighbor, God's word is still good. God's word is still good. That means regardless of what we've gone through, God's still going to do what he said. If you say amen, right, it ain't going to take me long to preach amen this morning. Amen. That should encourage somebody, because some of us have been through some hard trials and tribulations. Some of us have been through some stuff that should have took us out, like Israel in the text. By now, we should have been counted out. Oh, God. But come on, tell your neighbor one more time, and then I'm going to go ahead and read Zechariah. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, God's word is still good. Put a hallelujah on the end of it. Good, oh, God. I could hang out right there. I could hang out right there. Amen. God's word is still good, regardless of what you've gone through. Regardless of what you have or what you don't have. Come on, somebody tell your name one more time. Say, God's word is still good. For my college students, it don't make a difference what you made on an exam. Now, it does make a difference, but it don't make a difference. They said, thank you, Jesus, when I said it don't make a difference. Not in the big scheme of things. God works everything out of his own counsel. God. Sometimes we look at our failures like Israel were doing. And if you really dig out the text, amen, in Haggai's writing and Zechariah's writing, one of their disappointment was they was asking, is God punishing us because of our failures? Are we not able to complete the building of this temple because of us? And God's trying to reassure them that I got a bigger plan than you. And I'm going to work my plan out in the midst of your failures. Okay, let me get to the text. Zechariah. Okay, because I said my assignment is to preach short. That's what I said, isn't it? Zechariah chapter number 2, verse 1 through 13. And then we're going to go to Isaiah, Elder Natira. You don't mind, read for me. Amen. Zechariah chapter number 2. Now, I've been preaching 20 years. You've been here at least 25 times. Don't you leave here talking about pastor, get somebody to read because he can't read. I can read. All right, I can read. Somebody said, there he goes. All right. Zechariah chapter number 2, verse 1 through 13. And then we're going to go to Isaiah 62. Amen. Verse 1, 2, and 3. And we're going to get the application, amen, of what God is saying to us, amen, through showing us the example with Israel and the remnant. Let's read.
Then I raised my eyes and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. So I said, where are you going? And he said to me, to measure Jerusalem to see what is its width and what is its length. And there was an angel who talked with me going out, and another angel was coming out to meet him, who said to him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls because of the multitude of men and livestock in it. For I, says the Lord, will be a wall of fire all around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. Up, up, flee from the land of the north, says the Lord, for I have spread you abroad like the four winds of heaven, says the Lord. Up, Zion, escape, you who dwell with the daughter of Babylon. For thus says the Lord of hosts, he sent me after glory to the nations which plunder you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. For surely I will shake my hand against them, and they shall become spoil for their servants. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people, and I will dwell in your midst. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you, and the Lord will take possession of Judah as his inheritance in the Holy Land, and will again choose Jerusalem. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is aroused from his holy habitation. Isaiah 62,
verse 1, 2, and 3.
Okay, Isaiah 62, verses 1, 2, and 3. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a lamp that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all your kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. You shall also be a crown of glory in the land of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God.
And the word of the Lord is blessed. For a few moments, I want to talk from the thought, for Zion's sake. For Zion's sake. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister. For these next few moments, give me articulation of speech. Declare your truth. Declare your principles. That we may then walk out what it is that you've said. You've used Israel for the plan of salvation throughout the history of humankind. And you've given us principles. And you've given us practices. And given us a way to live, Lord, through their rejection. We were grafted in. And now, Lord, at the end of this dispensation called grace, you're going to graft them back in that we might be one new man. So, Lord, now as we're walking that out, give us times and seasons that we understand what the will of the Lord is, that we know that good, acceptable, and perfect will, that we know what it is that is required of us, whether preaching, whether, oh God, working, whether going into the streets and the highways and compelling people to come to Christ. We will know what to do to participate in what you're doing for Zion's sake. We thank you. We glorify your name. And all God's people said amen and amen. Somebody just repeat that after me. For Zion's sake. He said it very clearly in Isaiah 62 and 1. He said, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness therefore go forth as brightness, and the salvation therefore as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles, listen what he says, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. And thou shalt be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. For thy Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And the word of the Lord is blessed. As I've shared with you, the book of Zechariah is a companion book of Haggai or Haggai. They are colleagues. When you come to Zechariah and Haggai, they are colleagues. And it is the principle of God showing two that are better than one. Jesus Christ would later send his disciples out the same way that Haggai and Zechariah came. He would send them out two by two. In the book of Zechariah, we begin to see, in the book of Zechariah, he began to prophesy shortly after Haggai, but he continued longer. He began to soar higher, and he began to have visions and revelations, and he began to prophesy, particularly concerning the season that we're in of the first and the second advent of Christ. It is amazing to me that all the way back in Genesis and all the way up into Malachi before Christ would come, different men, different ages, different women, they would begin to compile prophecies, and all of them would be accurate about a coming Messiah. But they didn't stop with the first event. If you read continually, they're going to say, he's going to come again. He's going to come again. I'm not sure if you understand, amen, the significance of this weekend, but this weekend absolutely is about the risen Christ. But the other thing that it ought to be indicating to us, that if he came before, as prophesied, then he's going to come again. Come on, do me a favor. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, he's coming again. He's coming again. Zechariah began to prophesy of the coming Messiah. He would begin to prophesy of both the first advent and the second advent. And he would prophesy that there is a coming kingdom to this world, that the kingdoms might become what Christ predicted and what his writer said it would be. And there are three simple things, because I want to really, amen, be short today, that Zechariah is really trying to show us in his writings, and they're right in the text. Wish I had a little bit more time, I would build it a little bit more, but I don't have that time, so I'm not going to build it, all right? But there are three things that Zechariah is showing us in the text. And the first one is found in Zechariah chapter number 2, verse 1 and 2, all right? The first one is found in Zechariah 1 and 2. And the first thing that we see that God shows us with Israel in his hand is that God is always concerned about his people. God is always concerned about the condition of his people. Don't ever let anyone tell you that God is not concerned. Whether we're Israel, whether we're male, whether we're female, whether we're black, whether we're white, the eyes of the Lord go throughout the earth, beholding both the good. God is concerned about the condition of his people. In Psalms chapter number 121, it says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. For my help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. And he will not suffer thy foot to be removed. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, they keepeth Israel, will not slumber nor sleep. God is concerned about the present condition of his people. Children of Israel had now gone out of captivity, and he was so concerned. And this is where we see in verse 1 and 2, we see a man with a measure line. Where is he going? He's going to Jerusalem to check the breadth and the length. But that literally means he's going to see what's going on in the condition of his people's life. Don't ever think you're doing life all by yourself. God is always concerned about the condition of his people. Nothing happens, good or bad, that surprises or stumps him. The children of Israel in this text, they are now in captivity. And I'm sorry, they're coming out of captivity, and all of them not come. So they're now less than what they were supposed to be. But that did not surprise God. That did not stump God. I don't know how it is, but every now and then we think where we are has shocked God. We think that this is surprising to God that that happened and this happened. And God is in heaven saying, do you not know that I am all-knowing? He is a God that stands outside of time and looks into time, seeing the past, the present, and the future. He is a God that stands outside of time, seeing the past, the present, and the future. So when he comes, he wants to know, hey man, look at the condition of my people. There was a man in Zechariah chapter number 2, verse number 1, that he goes and he looks, amen, to see what is the condition of my people. And Chronicles says something very important. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 16 and 9, it says that the Lord's eyes go to and fro that he might see whose heart is perfect towards him. And that is very important in point number one, that when, if God is concerned with the condition of his people, it just may be he's not really looking to see what's going on. Stay with me. In 2 Chronicles 16 and 9, he's trying to find out, really, where is our heart in our present predicament? Where is our heart in our present predicament? Okay, Israel, you came out of captivity. Okay, Israel, everybody that was supposed to come didn't come. Okay, Israel, you're not going to have enough people, it looks like, to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. Now, what does your heart say? God is always concerned about the condition of his people. And I really want you to understand, he wants to do a heart check. Is your heart still perfect towards me? I like what Travis Green says. I still believe. I still believe. In our present condition, what is our heart towards what God has said about us? Are you still here? With everything that has happened with us, with life, how do we feel about the future? With everything that is going on, Baltimore City, if you work in Baltimore City, Baltimore County, if you work in Baltimore County, amen, that department, that job, with all that has happened, how does your heart feel about what I have said? Truth of the matter is, when we get in predicaments and conditions and situations, what we see about the future too often changes. I'm almost done. He's come down to see the condition of his people, and now he wants to see whose heart is still believing. Lord, it ain't but a few of us, but you still can get done what you said you was going to do. Lord, our family has gone through a lot, but it ain't over yet. You're still going to be mighty to save and mighty to heal and mighty to deliver. God is always concerned about the condition of his people. And please hear me in the text, if you would read it, he wanted to see what was their heart towards what he had said. I believe with all of my heart, and Edward, you can get ready to doxology me, I'm almost done. I believe every now and then he listens to our voice and he wants to hear what are we saying in revelation, in relationship to the tension of what's going on in our lives and what he has said is going to happen with our lives. I need to say that one more time. I believe it with all of my heart. Every now and then God comes near because he wants to really hear what are we saying with the tension that is going on with our lives and what he said will become of our lives. Don't let anybody convince you that God does not care. Don't let anybody convince you that you are forgotten about. Don't let anybody convince you, and Edward, I'm real serious, you can give me the doxology because I'm about done. God is so in love with his creation. He's concerned about Israel. But we can go to the book of Romans. He said, don't get too inundated with that. I'm concerned about the Gentiles too. In fact, I'm going to give you a whole period that you can come in called the grace dispensation. And then if you think I'm only concerned about Gentiles, I'm going to show you that I'm going to turn my heart back towards Israel and I'm going to grab them back in. He's trying to show us whether Greek, whether Gentile, whether male, whether female, whether tall, whether short, whether underweight, overweight, I'm concerned about your condition. And so he sends a man with the measuring line. One theologian said he believed that this was the man that was riding on the red horse in chapter number 1. Those of you not been here, there's 8 visions in this text. And in the first vision, amen, he's riding upon a red horse. I don't know if I agree with that, amen, but it's just something we could look at. It's a man with a measuring line. And then the angel begins to talk. And they begin to talk about Jerusalem, Jerusalem. What is going on with Jerusalem? He has given us Israel, amen, Jerusalem, that we could understand how God relates with his people. I need somebody to hear this. He has seen every tear that you've cried. Every time you was ready to throw up your hand to give up, it wasn't you that pulled. Ah, God, I feel like preaching right there. It wasn't you that pulled your hand down. It was that great grace saying it ain't over yet. Every time you ready to give up on your family, God said, don't give up on them yet. I didn't give up on you. One, and I got to leave this alone, y'all, because I'm out of time. Number one, I want you to go enjoy your family today. Number one, he's concerned about the condition of his people. I wish I had a little bit more time. I'd walk you through Matthew. I'd walk you through 2 Corinthians. Amen. He's concerned about the condition, and that's what he shows us in Zechariah with the children of Israel. I'm so concerned. I know. Oh, that's good right there, Anthony. I know right where you are. See, sometimes we have, amen, expectations and we have goals and we have aspirations that we are trying to achieve. And sometimes we begin to look back over our lives and we're not there yet. And that can weigh on your mind, your body, your spirit. And in fact, it can weigh on your psyche. And you say, why are we not here yet? Every now and then God's trying to show you, I work everything according to my timetable. He's concerned about the condition. One, verse 1 and 2, we see God is concerned about the condition. I wish I had more time. Number two, God is concerned about the condition of his people. Number two, God is always trying to make us know. He says in the latter part of verse, amen, when you get to verse number 3 through verse somewhere around verse number 9, he said, before this is over, you're going to know I'm in the midst of thee. He's trying to get us to know that he's in the midst of us. Ah, and if he, okay, I got to lead this. Oh, go ahead, Edward. Go ahead and do whatever you want to do because I'm about done. As he's in the midst of, he's trying to get us to know. Why did God come so close? Because he's trying to get us to know some stuff where we really did not know. Amen. How many of you really can testify that God has proven to me that I will make you to know, amen, that I am your provider. I will make you to know that I am your healer. I will make you to know that I am so in the midst of you that any weapon came out against you, it shall not prosper. The application that we get, verse number, amen, 3 through 10, I wish I had a little bit more time. I'd work it out a little bit better, but he's trying to get us to know. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, God's trying to get you to know some stuff. God's trying to get you to know. He's trying to get us to know. He was trying to get Israel to know what they were not confessing. LaTanya, I'm convinced some experiences is God's trying to get us to know something we didn't know. Or we can walk, oh God, I wish I had a little bit more time. Or we can run around here when that music get going real good and talking about Waymaker, Waymaker. If the praise and worship sing right, just right, we'll jump up and we'll begin to explain some, exhort some things that we can. But then when we walk out of here and we on our job and we walk out of here and we home by ourselves and we walking through life, we will be questioning the very God that we halal while we was in here. Every now and then, I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but I'm talking to somebody. What we're going through is so we will come out of it knowing. He was trying to get Israel to move to knowing that you're going to build the temple. You're going to complete the temple. You're going to do what I said you were going to do. So don't doubt.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.